take your time setting up, counsel. Just a reminder, 15 minutes is afforded to each side for presentation of your case. 5 minutes is reserved to appellant counsel if you choose to use that. The podium has been up and down all day. Please adjust it to your height preference, and a reminder to indicate who you are and which party you're speaking on behalf of before making your argument. I'm going to ask our marshal to call the last oral argument case for consideration.
Calling A240640 in the matter of the application of Dairy Ridge LLC for a conditional use permit.
And appellant counsel, whenever you're ready, don't feel at all rushed. Whenever you're ready, go ahead and approach the podium.
Good morning. My name is Attorney Gary Lustico, and I represent Dairy Ridge in this matter. They have appealed this in front of you, and we appreciate your time and energies in this matter. I first would invite any questions that any of you have. I'm sure you will ask if you have questions, and I'll invite and I'll do my very best to answer those questions. Just as general background, so Dairy Ridge has a dairy farm in Todd County. They have an existing between 1660 and 1700 cows. They are therefore a CAFO, so that they're controlled by the MPCA for all things to do with the manure management and that type of thing. The county doesn't oversee that. What they were seeking in a conditional use permit in this case is to add up to 700 cows and to construct two confinement barns, add to another confinement barn, and then most importantly for this appeal, they're going to add another manure lagoon as part of their manure management system. And the case went through a significant amount of oversight in the county through the...
It did, and part of what I don't understand about your argument, you know, it goes to the Planning Commission and they put in some conditions, and at least I sort of felt that you were arguing that the Planning Commission makes a recommendation to the board. The board decides to do work sessions, but your argument, as I understand it, is that there was some deference or some binding feature of the Planning Commission recommendation. Why would that be, or did I just misunderstand that?
I may have misargued it. I think that the Planning Commission, the board is required to look at and consider what the Planning Commission says. I don't think they're bound by it.
Okay.
I think it's a matter of, you know, in this case, the comprehensive plan.
Why would the plan, you know, when it went to the board, there was several work sessions, lengthy work sessions. Why wouldn't the Planning Commission have entertained all of that? I'm just trying to figure out. What, I would think the Planning Commission does the groundwork, so the board doesn't have to do so much, so that the application process is easier. So why would the Planning Commission, not have entertained some of those other requirements that the board had raised?
As I understand it, at the Planning Commission, you know, members of the public came, they presented to the Planning Commission, the DNR was there. Dairy Ridge had their experts there, the hydrologists. They presented that information. Based on that, the Planning Commission, based on the ordinance, looked at the concerns they were aware of, and they set conditions to satisfy or resolve those concerns. At the county board meetings, other people showed up. It became fairly contentious with members of the public coming in and bringing up concerns.
That's what I don't understand. Yeah. And then I'll shut up and let you go.
Not asking you to shut up, Your Honor.
I'm married to a farmer, so this process to me is just so difficult to go through because everybody's worried about groundwater. My point is this. At what point in this whole continuum do we just kind of freeze it and say, okay, this is what we have as far as evidence at the time, and stop allowing more and more information as the process goes on? And what I'm getting at is it appeared to me that it was really late in the ballgame that the DNR comes out and says, oh, well, we're worried about some trout fish. And, you know, why doesn't that start at the beginning? To me, it just seems that issues get created as this plays out.
I think issues did get created as it played out. I think there are some local residents, you know, houses, homeowners, they became very motivated, very antagonistic to the process. You know, we didn't create that. We tried to, from the very beginning, present all the information to everybody. The DNR is heavily involved. They oversee this. They permit it. You know, we rely heavily on Yang. In that case, it's the slaughterhouse, it's the dairy farm. And the board heard similar concerns, and then they put it, they denied it based on that, well, they didn't know everything that the DNR would do. In this particular case, the DNR did come. They said, if you're going to grant this, put a condition that the DNR permits have to be in place, which was one of the 16 conditions. And, you know, Good Pasture is a case that talks about with Yang.
Is it fair to say that at the time the conditional use permit was denied, the permit application to draw from the H1 aquifer had not yet been approved? Is that a fair statement?
That is a fair statement.
Okay. So why isn't that enough to deny the permit?
Well,
Because you just told me that it was all dependent on all the permits. And you didn't have them all. And I mean, as I understand it, your client's argument is, don't worry, the H1 aquifer will solve all our problems. I mean, that's an overstatement, but is that kind of a fair statement?
Well, it...
Because that's where the water's going to come. Don't worry about B1. By God, H1 will save us.
Well, what we know from the facts in the record is that this third lagoon I mentioned, the third lagoon would reuse water. So the county brings up in their responsive brief that the 700 cows would take between 7 and 8 million gallons of water, a lot of water. But the lagoon, which was part of the plan, is in the record, would reduce water use by 18 million gallons. So even if the H1 aquifer was never approved in the end, it's one of the conditions. Condition number 3, applicant must obtain alternate Minnesota DNR water withdrawal permitting. The only alternate DNR water withdrawal permit is the H1 aquifer. But even if the H1 wasn't approved, which was one of the conditions it would have to be before a building permit would go forward, the third lagoon would reduce the amount of water coming out of the ground by 18 million. There's new cows, which would take 7 to 8 million. So you have between 10 and 11 million gallons of water that is reduced. The applicant also said they would do night irrigation. They're using varieties, drought-resistant varieties. They might not be a requirement, but what is a requirement is that third lagoon. So there's going to be a net reduction in water used regardless. And just like in Yang, where the council was concerned about, you know, water issues, sanitation, water quality issues, the court there held that if they can be satisfied in a condition, you put the eyes that are most capable and competent on it, like the DNR and the MPCA, and they're looking at that. And 16 conditions, all of those conditions together, satisfy any concerns if it's not done or not. In Good Pasture, what Good Pasture, as I understand the case, stands for, is if the board still thinks, regardless of the concerns of the people that came in and complained, if they still think there are things left out by the state agencies, then they can set a condition. And if the condition they determined cannot satisfy or resolve that concern, they have to state and articulate in the record what the concerns were. The county board just addressed water. We don't know enough about water.
For reasons, but
yep, yes.
So I have a couple of questions. Yep. Obviously, it's arbitrary and capricious. My first question is, if any one of these conditions is supported by the record, do you lose? So let's say 1, 2, and 3 are wrong, but 4 is supported by the record. Do you still lose?
I think there's some of these conditions, if they're not supported by the record or do not satisfy in the record, the board still needed to articulate why it wasn't. We're left to guess on those things, but so some of them are more important than others.
But let's look at 2, because I think that's the big one we're talking about. Insufficient availability of groundwater to supply the requested increase in animal units. So if that's why they're saying no permit, and the record reflects that one of the conditions was to have the H1 aquifer approved, and it has not yet been approved, then how was it arbitrary and capricious to say, well, don't have, I mean, and I understand your argument about the lagoon, but, you know, maybe they didn't buy that argument. But if the aquifer H1 wasn't approved, then it, doesn't that provide some record support for the argument that there is insufficient availability of groundwater to supply the requested increase in animal units? So do you understand what I'm sort of tracking?
I think so.
So why isn't that enough to support the finding of the board?
Well, the,
we want sufficient groundwater. A condition of the permit was H1 aquifer. That hasn't been approved yet. Since that hasn't approved yet, we don't think there's sufficient groundwater. Therefore, there's record evidence for one of the findings of the board.
But that is not how they articulated their reasons. What the conditions do is they require, before building permits are issued by the county, certain things have to be met. So if there isn't sufficient groundwater, the condition will rectify that, that there will be no additional cattle put into this site because it hasn't been met. I mean, as a landowner, as a business operator, all of these things start to fit together, and they have to show the PCA and the DNR evidence. They have to start doing things. And what they're coming to the county with a conditional use permit is that we're going to do this. It will, for sure, on the record, reduce by a substantial amount of water, 10 to 11 million gallons. Because of the denial of this CUP, there is more water being used out of the B1 aquifer today than there would be had the conditional use permit been granted. If the H1, which is a required of the conditions requirement, if that is granted by the DNR, and it, the indications are that it will be, but I agree, it hasn't been as of this date, that then there will be substantially less water in the use from the B1. And if none of that passes, none of that comes to be, there will be no more cows on the site.
That's a fair response. I get it. You know, just wait for the permit to be approved and, you know, all problems will be solved. So then there will be sufficient groundwater. Yep. What about this? Even if the Dairy Ridge permit to draw from the H1 aquifer was approved, do you agree that your client's project could impact domestic wells, surface water, features, and drinking water, and that the record supports that these concerns include the presence of nitrates in local wells, which increases the risk of cancer? Do you agree that there's record support for that there could be increased nitrates, which gets to the health and safety welfare?
The only in the record is one comment from one person that came to one of the later in front of the commission meetings and indicated that they had talked to someone about their well, there was nitrates, and it had to be caused by Dairy Ridge. There's no other evidence in the record. There was a question asked.
Isn't that enough? Okay, it's one person. Well, you know, if one person dies of cancer, that sounds bad to me. I mean, our whole review here is there sufficient record evidence to prove that the four reasons for their denial are supported by the record, which means it's not arbitrary and capricious. So even if it's just one person, how is that, under our deferential standard review, isn't that enough?
I don't think it is. I mean, there could never be a conditional use permit for a dairy in the state of Minnesota. Because all there would have to be is one person traveling around to each and every board meeting or commission meeting and say, it's in the record. The county could say simply, without anything else, one of the reasons we're denying is health, safety, and welfare. So one of the commissioners did ask the administrator of planning and zoning about concerns with manure, which are one of the concerns with nitrates and other impurities in the water. And the administrator said, the county has no oversight on that. It is the MPCA, that's a requirement. There'll be a manure management plan, and there will be ground testing. It's very rigorous, worked with many dairies. It's a very rigorous, it stops projects from happening in and of itself. So that is a condition. And the board doesn't articulate, as it did in required, as I understand, good pastor, articulate why that doesn't rectify that problem.
Well, you agree that state statute requires counties to promote health and such precautions, I mean, they have reason to be making those decisions.
Absolutely. And in this case, they took that seriously, and they came up with 16 conditions. So it's a conditional use. It's a use that's allowed with conditions. They came up with 16 conditions. They never articulated why, with these conditions, those concerns would not be rectified. Why, if there's what causes nitrates and what doesn't cause nitrates in water, may be a complicated thing. It's very simple what the MPCA does. They put in stringent requirements for the dairies, for feedlots, to follow certain protocol. And that's one of the conditions. The board never articulates it. I've sat through all the meetings. The board never addressed a single concern other than groundwater and the amount of groundwater. And this conditional use permit results in less groundwater use, probably substantial, so probably, but for sure, at least 10 to 11 million gallons. And the county doesn't articulate any basis why these conditions don't otherwise rectify it. Hope that was responsive, and I will wait for my 5 minutes. Thank you.
Council, just one quick thing. Does the savings then in the original area in groundwater that you're talking about eliminate the need to go a mile away and draw water from a different aquifer?
I think in a practical sense it does. I mean, that there is some concern. It's not in the record. There's been more testing since then. These aquifers have increased in depth, the amount of water that's available. That's not in the record. But it does reduce the amount of groundwater used. Whether it would in the future rectify the issue or not is why Dairy Ridge has said, we will put the money into going to this other aquifer, which is very robust, to make sure everybody's got enough water. I mean, they're not trying to short people water. They're not trying to cause impurities into the water. And so the 10 to 11 million gallons would indicate that there hasn't been well interference since they were dropped. But if it's going to happen, they will to seek water from a different aquifer to assure that this project doesn't impact that.
Thank you. Okay. And we'll hear from Respondent Council.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Kristen Nierengarten from Squires, Waldsberger, and Mace, and I represent Todd County in this matter. So, of course, as the court seems to understand, the question before you is whether the county's decision to deny Dairy Ridge's conditional use permit to expand their feedlot was reasonable in light of the law and in light of the record as a whole. It's not whether the court would reach a different conclusion, whether Dairy Ridge would reach a different conclusion. It's whether the county's decision was reasonable. Now, Dairy Ridge, you know, they say that they understand that the Planning Commission doesn't make the decision, but in a lot of ways, they're arguing that the county board, the Todd County Board, should just act as a rubber stamp here. That because there are these other oversight agencies for feedlots, that the county should just sign off on feedlot CUPs.
I don't think that
without
happened here. They had a lot of work sessions.
Yes, and exactly. But what but to accept Dairy Ridge's argument, that's what they wanted here. You know, MPCA is overseeing it, DNR is overseeing it. Just give it approval, county, because other people will take care of it. But that defies the mandate of the county board. The county board is supposed to act as a quasi-judicial decision maker, not just in name. You know, they are to engage in their own independent deliberation and actual decision making about competing land uses and whether a land use is appropriate.
The garden doesn't the factor, or excuse me, reason two was insufficient availability of groundwater to supply the requested increase in. Doesn't the conditions put on the conditional use permit, wouldn't that solve the issue of groundwater?
I don't think that it would, and the reason for that is because the county simply didn't have enough information to reach that conclusion. You know, certainly the DNR is going to look at this water appropriations issue and is going to make some decisions on that issue, but what the DNR has presented to the county and what the information in the record is that there are a whole lot of concerns about this B1 aquifer, you know, well interruptions, well vulnerabilities, a decrease decrease in water level over time, a consistent decrease in water over time from this B1 aquifer. And sure, there is discussion about, okay, well, we could pump from this H1 aquifer instead. But, you know, again, and I think that Judge Werke made this point, that issue is developing. Those conversations are developing during this time when the county is considering this conditional use permit without any answers and without any data. And so, you know, when you look at it, you've got this these 2021 well interruptions that are attributable to Dairy Ridge's pumping. And they're pumping, mind you, within the limits, well within the limits of a DNR-issued water appropriation permit. So that water appropriation permit was not sufficient to guarantee the longevity and health of the aquifer for the neighbors. We also have this May 2023 groundwater technical review report that was issued by the DNR talking about these concerns with the B1 aquifer, you know, the decrease in that aquifer over time, consistent decrease, the well vulnerabilities, you know, expectation of well interference. They make the comment in that report, the DNR makes a comment in that report, that more data is needed to determine water level trends and aquifer thresholds. That's the March 2023 letter. So that's, you know, that's what the county is going in with on this. And then in December of 2023, the DNR submitted a letter specifically to the county specifically on this feedlot application, you know, this application to expand the feedlot. And in that letter, the DNR reiterated its concerns about that B1 aquifer, saying that there are groundwater sustainability issues that are expected to continue, that there's well interference is expected to continue, and that the DNR is collecting more data. But I think the really telling point, and something that's gotten lost in some of this conversation, is that in that letter, the DNR drew a distinction between the appropriations, the water appropriations that were permitted for irrigation, and the water appropriations needed but unpermitted for the dairy operation. And what the DNR said in that letter is that there is no current appropriations permit for Dairy Ridge's existing dairy operations. So they're operating without a water appropriations permit, and the DNR is estimating, you know, for their existing dairy operation, they're using about 19 million gallons per year of water, and that they're going to need an additional 7.9 million gallons a year for an increase of cows on the property under the CUP request. And that hasn't been accounted for here.
So on reason four, health, safety, and welfare of the citizens of Todd County, what is that? Is this the traffic? Is this the nitrates? Is it both? Is it something else?
I think it's all of the above, frankly, and I think that that's reflected in the board's discussions, you know, in that March 5th meeting, but also in their prior meetings where they're talking about these nitrate concerns, they're talking about the traffic concerns, and the groundwater concern is also part of that. I mean, the concern about the adequacy of groundwater, water is the essence of health, safety, and welfare. And
factor one, the lack of information among appellants' arguments is that's not sufficient basis to deny a permit. We don't know enough. What is your response to that, Ms. Newton?
I think that's entirely incorrect. I think that, you know, the ordinance itself sets an obligation on the applicant to provide enough information for the county to make affirmative determinations about all of the criteria that are listed there for granting a conditional use permit. And so, you know, the county is saying in that criteria or in that finding that it does not have enough information. It doesn't have that information from Dairy Ridge, certainly, but it recognizes that this information would come from the DNR, and we don't have it. You know, it's you know, they're kind of getting ahead of themselves here in applying for this expansion of their feedlot operations when we don't even understand the water impacts, the groundwater impacts of their existing operations. And so
I have to admit, this was a new one for me, lack of information. I don't recall in reviewing these decisions ever seeing says, we're denying it because we don't have enough information. Do you have a case that says that is a sufficient basis to deny an application, i.e., we need more information to decide, and that, well, do you have any, I mean, I couldn't find any cases that say, that's not, you know, you can't say it, but I was looking for a case that says, yep, if we don't know enough, we get to say no.
I don't have a case that says that, but I think that the case law generally supports that proposition. Again, when you look at the way that the criteria are listed in the conditional use in the ordinance, the conditional use permit criteria are listed, it says that the county must make the following determinations. And so it has to have enough information before it to determine indeed that this will not have a detrimental effect on the environment, including the groundwater supply. You know, that's one of the criteria in there. And so by maybe that phrasing is a little bit different than what we typically see, but I think the principle behind it is consistent with how counties, zoning authorities, and courts look at these issues. You know, and I think too, I want to go back to this idea that, oh, go ahead. Yes, yes. And to touch on that, you know, again, I've talked about a couple of the things from the DNR reports, the groundwater report and things like that highlighted these concerns. And, you know, one of the arguments that Dairy Ridge has made today and has made throughout this is, you know, that, oh, they're going to pump from this H1 aquifer instead. But again, that plan was amorphous. That plan was kind of evolving as this CUP process was playing out. There's no mention of the H1 aquifer in the DNR's December 2023 letter to the county expressing concerns about this, about the groundwater implications of this CUP expansion. And, you know, just before the county had to make its final decision here on March 5th, it had to make its final decision in early March because of the 60-day rule, the Minnesota statute section 15.99. And right before it had to make that decision, the DNR issued another letter saying it had completed a preliminary well construction assessment on this proposal to appropriate from the H1 aquifer, and it needs more data to, include capacity testing, and it has some concerns, you know. And then at that,
kind of going back to where I start with on this DNR. DNR is obviously heavily involved in here. Is there any time frame that the DNR has to go and gather this information? I mean, in order to come forward, and I say that because Dairy Ridge, somebody from Dairy Ridge said, well, look, if the levels go down, we'll do nighttime irrigation, we'll engage in all of this stuff. I mean, you have a statutory time frame from the board, but what about the gathering of information by DNR? And I guess that comports to Judge Connolly's question.
You know, and I don't know exactly what the DNR's timeline is for this, and I think that was one of those concerns, though, is, you know, we're just getting this trickle of information, and we, the county, are on a timeline. We do have to make a decision here, and we don't have enough information right now. And I think, too, the other thing about that, you know, the H1 aquifer specifically and the proposal to appropriate from that, Dairy Ridge clarified at the March 5th board meeting that had just applied for the appropriations permit to move some of their appropriations over to that H1 aquifer. But the other thing that's important to note about that is that proposal to move those appropriations over to the H1 aquifer related only to their irrigation operations, and they made that clear. There was no discussion of what's happening with the water appropriations that you need for your dairy operations specifically. You know, that 19 million gallons per year that you were already using without a permit, plus the 7.9 million gallons a year that you would need for this, you know, expansion. So the county is faced with this question of, like, we don't know what the status is of water appropriations for the existing uses. We aren't in a place right now to say, yes, you can expand the existing uses, because we just don't have the information about the implication or the impacts on the groundwater. Because, again, the record before the county board is there are a lot of concerns about the groundwater here. You know, there are a lot of concerns about the B1 aquifer.
Is it fair to say this isn't, I don't mean it as a pun, but it's not dead in the water? They can get this information and just kind of reapply?
You know, I will say I don't. Yes, I mean, I think that they could. I don't know, some ordinances, and I meant to look at this and I didn't. Some ordinances put a restriction on you can't reapply for the same thing within 2 years or something like that. I don't know if the county has that in their ordinance.
Curiosity question. It doesn't.
Yes, but I think that's I mean, I think that is the point, right? That in a lot of ways, the issue here is that they requested this conditional use permit before all of the information was available that the county needed. It's a sequencing issue as much as anything, where the county is saying, and back to the question that Judge Connolly asked about that, that I believe the first finding for why the county didn't approve the conditional use permit, what that's really getting at, not having enough information, is it's not having enough information to even craft conditions to satisfy the county's obligation to determine that indeed this proposed feedlot expansion will not have a detrimental effect on groundwater. And so, you know, there are just too many open questions for the county to make those determinations here. And I want to, go ahead, Judge.
Helen keeps coming back to their argument that they'll actually use more water from the aquifer if this is granted. Is that what we're waiting for more information on, or is that something the county disagrees with?
You know, I don't think that argument is supported by the record, and here's why. I think that, you know, yes, there's a lot of discussion about, you know, this lagoon will hold water, we can reuse this water, but what the record shows you on that is that they intend to reuse the water for irrigation purposes. So again, that goes to that irrigation issue, and we're still not addressing the water appropriations from the dairy specifically, the dairy operations specifically.
But irrigation basically flushes right back into the groundwater.
Eventually. And what the DNR is saying is we don't know how this B1 aquifer gets replenished. Yes, I mean, there's logic in that, right, that it replenishes from the irrigation. But the DNR is saying we don't have enough information to say, you know, how quickly this replenishes. We don't have enough information to say what are the, you know, safe thresholds for drawing water from this aquifer, which we now, looking at it, see has precipitously declined over the last two decades to the point where we have very real risk to residential wells. And so, again, the county is making its determination. It has to make a decision, on this issue with the information it has available to it based on the CUP criteria. And it's, you know, it's not attempting to duplicate the DNR's work, but it's also not blindly trusting the DNR because, you know, it recognizes, again, there are so many open questions here that even these existing appropriations related to existing uses haven't been sorted out. And the DNR previously permitted 82 million gallons per year to be drawn from this aquifer that can't sustain it. And the county also, you know, wasn't blindly trusting Dairy Ridge to do the right thing where it, the county, did not have enough information to craft conditions to make sure that it did the right thing on groundwater issues. You know, it wanted more data on what are the impacts on the B1 aquifer, what can it support? And its decision, you know, was based on in its authority and its mandate under its ordinance to consider groundwater-related issues, you know, when evaluating a proposed use. So because the county's decision was reasonable, it was based on the record, it was based in the law, the county asks that this court affirm its denial of Dairy Ridge's conditional use permit.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The relator, you have the last word.
Thank you.
I will address the question and this lack of information question you raise, and I agree with that. I can't find that there is a case that supports that. I think there is a case that stands for the exact opposite, which is Yang, when the unknown information is overseen by a state agency. And Yang, in the holding, holds where state standards are set and enforced by state agencies and where a conditional use permit applicant informs the Board of Commissioners of his intention to comply, which is unaltered, I mean, undeniable in the record that Mr. Thompson of Dairy Ridge indicated I'll follow everything. With all applicable standards, the Board need not resolve specific compliance issues prior to granting a conditional use permit. And if the DNR would have granted these or doesn't grant these permits, it would not change. The county couldn't change that. So if the DNR, and neither could Dairy Ridge, if the DNR doesn't grant the permits won't be granted. If the DNR does grant the permits will be granted. We disagree with the county board here arguments as to what is permitted and what is currently permitted with Dairy Ridge. The current permits within the B1 involves a number of different wells, and it allows up to a certain amount of pumping in the 81 to 82 million gallon range, and that is currently. It is undeniable that the current permit in front of the county would reduce the amount of water being pumped from the B1 by 10 to 11 million gallons of water. It will help the groundwater no matter what else is done by the DNR or what isn't. The county has that information. It's in the record. It's completely supported by the record. And it is without contest that that would occur. At the Mr. Tomshi, at the February, I stand corrected, the January 16th, 2024 board meeting, document 33, page 20 and 21, David Tomshi indicates the process of the third lagoon and the amount of water that it will reduce for the county. And this isn't something, as is being argued, came in at the last minute. The third condition, which was set by or determined or recommended by the Planning Commission, that condition already had a requirement that the alternate DNR permit would be granted prior to any building permits being issued by the county. So that was already a requirement. If it wasn't done, the project couldn't have moved forward. And I never like to beat a horse once the horse is done, but if any questions you have, I think the arguments are in front of you. So I grew up on a dairy farm, so I get the deal with the dairy farms. So I appreciate your time and your questions. And we feel that the county, based on the record, our argument, and based on the controlling case law, did not reasonably deny the CUP. They did not give adequate reasons. Therefore it is arbitrary, and we'd ask that the court so find and require the county to issue the conditional use permit. Thank you
to both counsel. The briefs were very well done. The argument is certainly going to help us as far as our decision. The matter is submitted, and we'll issue an order within the 90-day time frame. With that said, we stand in adjournment. We are done with our oral argument calendar. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
I'll rise.